talking sports with you as you start your day. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors, with Blaine Bishop, Mark Howard, and Kevin Ingram on 104.5 The Zone.
.903 on the Wake Up Zone at 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop and our producer, Jonathan Schaefer. We are powered, of course, by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Visit fourseasonsgarages.com to learn more. All right, guys, a few things coming over as sort of semi-breaking news. The NHL will start its tournament, its 24-team tournament, on the 24th, or rather on the 1st of December. They're starting it up, on the 1st. So that'll be interesting to see, just exactly what happens there. But the other thing that came over, Jim Harbaugh saying that contact is not really mandatory during the pandemic. Jim Harbaugh, the coach of Michigan. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Contact is not mandatory.
Yeah, at least during practice.
So what does that mean? I mean, really tell us something, Jim, that we don't know.
Practices are going to be different if that's the case. They're going to be more like walkthroughs, aren't they?
No, I think you're going to look at it as guys are going to be in front of you and you have to kind of jog to your spot. And what are you supposed to do and position yourself offensively and defensively, what you're supposed to do. I think when it comes to the skill positions, I think you can do 7-on-7 and without having a lot of contact. Naturally, you're going to run into people at times, I think you got to, at some point, execute and get your timing down, even if it's on air. So you can do on air, Mark, without walk through. It's just like running the plays on air. I think what he was trying to say, Mark, is that it's not against the rules not to have contact now until we get a little more information to move forward. That doesn't mean you're walking through. That's not how. You're going to get ready for a season at some point, even if you're on air. Guess what? You can run on air. You see members of the Titans. You see the Titans running plays over there on air running full speed. Yeah. They're not walking. They're not walking nowhere because then nothing about football says walking. So I think you can't. I mean, yeah, at some point you're going to be running, even if it's not with somebody in front of you.
By the way, let me make a correction here. NHL announced that next season will start December 1st.
Okay.
A little brain freeze there that has nothing to do with the playoffs or, restart or anything like that. But December 1 is when their next season will start. Important to point that out.
Yeah, no doubt. Right. Good information to know. No.
Yeah. The Baltimore Ravens talked about yesterday, their plans for having fans in the stands. And they talked about 14,000 as their target number for – the fans that are going to be out there. I don't know. And again, things differ state to state. That's important to make that distinction. But at least the Chiefs also said we're going to have limited numbers. They weren't specific about the numbers that they were going to have. But the Ravens putting a number out there at 14,000 is, off the top of my head, about a fourth or a fifth of the stadium being occupied during games.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just tell us some information, Mark. But yeah. I mean, that to me, that doesn't dictate what other stadiums are going to do at all. Because as what you said is, every state is a little bit different situation. But it does tell you that there is going to be changes, which we all know on the attendance at NFL games and in how much, in some cases more and other cases less. So we shall see how this all plays. I still think that's a moving target. I really don't know if by saying 14,000, I mean, I would have been a little more vague and said it's going to be limited seating at this point in time until to further notice. This is kind of where we're at, and then kind of gradually ease into that as we got closer to the start of the season. Not necessarily, you know, right now, but I wouldn't give a specific number because it could change. It could go up. It could go down. So, you know, hey, more power to them. They're only ones who've stated the exact number, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other, you know, part of this, too, you know, we've heard it from the NBA. We've heard it from Major League Baseball. NHL votes today on the protocols and everything else involved. Their four-year extension of their collective bargaining agreement. But the NFL has agreed on most points with the owners, but we still haven't heard just exactly how they're going to handle players who opt out. If players originally opt out, can they come back? You know, there are a lot of unanswered questions. And let's face it, Blaine, it seems like there are going to be at least a few who might decide they don't feel safe, they don't want to play this year. Is football maybe a different mentality because the career span is shorter, or just facing the same dangers as everybody else, we're going to see a few guys decide not to play?
Well, I've been saying it all along. I think the mentality is kind of built in. You can't change the mentality of football players. And they feel like they're invincible, more so than probably any other sport. So, and they think they can play, and their contracts aren't guaranteed. That's another issue. So, you, really, you're all on one-year deals besides a franchise quarterback or superstar player at your position. So you're always out there, you know, trying to collect that check because, you know, you don't, tomorrow's not guaranteed as far as playing the National Football League. Yeah, but some players are, you know, may say, hey, you know, it's too much risk for me and my family, and I won't play. It'll be interesting to see. I think we'll have less numbers of guys doing that than any other league, if I was guessing, and then more players out there playing and risking a lot because really they have no choice. They're the provider for their families. And if it's no salary, no play, no guarantee, I think you say, okay, I'll take the risk and you guys stay safe. And if I have to quarantine myself from you guys, I will. And if I want to see you guys, I'll get tested and make sure before I see you guys to, you know, to make sure everybody's safe. So yeah, most of the time they're the breadwinner, so they have to play.
Then there's the whole point of escrow. and, you know, initially you heard that the NFL was going to ask the players to have 35% of their salaries put in an escrow account until they reach a certain level in terms of revenue. The owner's point is that if we don't reach certain levels in revenue, then the salary cap is going to drop and guys are going to get cut next year. So if you're a player, it doesn't have to be 35%, but do you feel like there needs to be a mechanism to make sure that the cap stays at least flat?
I'm not sure how all that dynamic worked, Mark. I think this is a convenient way of the NFL trying to manipulate the players here on this situation, if just listening from firsthand, because when the revenue was up, did you give them extra money? Yeah, I mean, so I think the NFL will rebound if it got hit hard, and they'll rebound in a great way. Everybody will be excited, and they're going to win, and then the players win. So, no, I don't agree with this one. Not at all.
All right, straight ahead, we're going to talk to Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. Always nice to have a Hall of Fame presence on this show. 9/11 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. .918 on the Wake Up Zone, powered by all Four Seasons Garage stores. Visit FourSeasonsGarages.com to learn more. Mark Howard, along with Blaine Bishop, Kevin Ingram off this week. Our producer, Jonathan Schaefer, making the magic, as always, from the Zone Studios. And let's bring in one of our favorite people, Hall of Fame writer Teresa Walker of the Associated Press. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you and Blaine doing in this fine, hot time?
We're great. We're of course, sitting in air conditioning, so we're good to go. Teresa, right now the clock is ticking, of course, over at the Titans complex. John Robinson has less than a week to sign Derrick Henry. The 15th is his deadline. What do you think is going to happen?
I tend to think, because they've been talking all along and because Derrick signed his tender, I think it was April 2nd, you know, that all signs have been pointing that they would get a deal done. Now, that said, you know, getting down to the nitty-gritty, that's where, you know, you can want a deal, but until a deal is done and Derrick Henry's name is signed to that deal, nothing is set. So, you know, the closer we get, the more I start to worry. I'll be honest, I've been expecting a deal probably to come maybe the 14th, maybe even the 15th. They have until 3 p.m. on the 15th, next Wednesday, to get this deal done. If not, you know, guys, Blaine, I don't know about you, but it almost feels like maybe with the way we keep seeing people testing and you know, all the tests, particularly in MLS, and people opting out in Major League Baseball, you know, is this maybe something that at a certain point Derrick Henry says, you know what, maybe I just play it safe, sit out this year, and let them tag me for next year when hopefully we've got a vaccine, and, you know, that way we can get busy with business, and we'll know what the salary cap is. You know, so there's still a lot of moving parts to this.
Mm, yeah, good point.
And there's also the aspect, Teresa, too, as to how each side views Henry. In other words, his representation will tell you that in this passing NFL, there are smaller defensive players, which makes Henry a huge asset, along with the Titans' running game. The Titans are saying, hey, you're a great runner, but as a pass receiver, you know, your numbers aren't up there, you know, with the Ezekiel Elliotts, the Christian McCaffreys, the Saquon Barkleys of the world.
Well, absolutely, Mark, and that is important. You know, now how much, you know, that's the one thing we've heard all along is that, you know, Derrick Henry, you know, they didn't need him to catch the ball at Alabama, and that's not something that they've really worked into his game here with the Titans. But the one thing we heard Mike Vrabel say since he was hired is he wants the Titans to be a better screen team. You know, kind of think that's why they drafted Jarenson Evans out of Appalachian State. He's a guy who, you know, he can make some catches with his hands. So you just kind of be content with, you know, that similarity that you put Aaron Evans on the field, you know, they're going to throw the ball to him. You know, Derrick Henry, maybe they throw the ball to him. You know, we've seen when they do get the ball in his hands outside on a screen, I mean, he could take it to the house. He did it in Cleveland, and you had one that was a drop in, I think it was the Jacksonville game in Jacksonville, that if he had taken that, probably another touchdown. So if you can improve that part of his game, then, yeah, he'll be even that much more powerful. But it is a split. You know, the numbers are clear. That has not been a big part of his game, and that's one of the things that makes Christian McCaffrey so incredibly valuable and worth an awful lot of money. So, you know, that matters into the negotiation, you know, and that how much that ends up costing Derrick Henry is going to be very interesting to see.
Do you think Clowney's coming here? The Browns look like they're out of it. There are obviously going to be other teams interested, the Raiders, apparently, maybe even Seattle. But with as much as John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have talked about him, do you feel like the Titans really love their chances of landing him?
I think they do, because now, you know, the Raiders, they're kind of strapped for money under their cap. Seattle, you know, yes, they'd like to try to fit him in, and you can always move some people around to redo some contracts to find some money. But it, you know, it still does feel like the Titans are a natural, you know, spot for him. Why? They were just playing in an AFC championship game. Clowney has kind of made it clear he wants to be with a team that can have a chance to win a Super Bowl. And the Titans can point to Clowney and say, dude, you come here, you could be that piece that gets us to a Super Bowl. You know, and he knows Mike Vrabel. His best season was under Mike Vrabel when Vrabel was defensive coordinator in Houston in 2017. You know, he knows, you know, you could, you know, but the challenge has been getting him in so you could do a physical and take a look at him. You're not going to give him a multi-million-dollar contract that you've had a chance to have your doctors look him over. You know, he had the surgery right after the playoffs finished last year for the Seahawks. You want to make sure he's healthy. These videos that they keep posting of him working out, they're fine, but you don't know just how healthy he is. And I'm not signing a $500 check, let alone a multi-million dollar check, so I've had a chance to look things over.
We're speaking to Hall of Famer Teresa Walker, who covers the Titans for the Associated Press.
Yes, Teresa, naturally everyone saw that the Ivy League, you know, has canceled all fall sports. And so I'm interested to hear your thoughts on how this affect it, the Power Five, and not actually football, but how does it affect a sport like basketball that's a fall spring sport in the Power Five?
Blaine, they're watching. I mean, you know, that's the thing. Expecting the Ivy League to make a decision and announce something this week. You know, we've been checking in with all the Power Fives, and, you know, Greg Sankey, as he said, you know, we're monitoring, you know, late July, players back on campus kind of working out and you know, their summer conditioning that they're doing. But, you know, they're watching the numbers. And right now the numbers are going up, 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 particularly in the SEC territory, out, you know, from Florida to Texas. Tennessee's numbers are going up, you know, Alabama, Mississippi, you name it, you know, Carolina, all the numbers keep going the wrong direction. And if that keeps up, then guess what? Not only may Power Five be deciding, particularly the SEC, saying, you know what, we simply can't, or, you know, we might have schools saying, you know what, we've got to go online. I monitored the UT Board of Trust meetings a couple weeks ago, and they said, you know, we're going to be having 30 to 40% of our classes online, but we're going to have students on campus. And guess what? If they suddenly decide, you know what, we can't risk having, you know, students and professors on campus, if they were to make a change, then guess what? They aren't going to put players on the field. They're not going to be playing football games. They're not going to be playing basketball games, because then suddenly it's nakedly apparent that these guys are out there to help produce money for these universities. So, you know, at this point, stay tuned. You know, we've seen so much canceled this year. You know, yesterday it was the Ryder Cup that they had, tried to reschedule. The one thing we've learned this year is anything can be canceled at the drop of a hat. Now we're waiting to see if Nashville SC is going to be able to play in this tournament down in Orlando. You know, so guys, if you want sports, I'm serious, put on the mask. And if you want your kids to go to school, put on a mask.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we're talking about canceling sports, let's say they do push back or cancel college football. Do you think spring ball or spring football is a viable option to play the season?
Well, it could be, but guess what? Not for the NFL purposes. If the NFL is able to go ahead and have their season and then college football pushes back to the spring, you know, that completely throws, you know, what does the NFL do with the draft? Does Trevor Lawrence play? You know, shoot, Garantano is another guy. Does he play, or does he maybe try to, you know, see what the NFL thinks of him for next season? So, you know, that happens, then we're looking at a complete, you know, the calendar's been thrown into a blender already at this point. If college football gets pushed to the spring, then you know, guess what? Up is going to be down, down is going to be up, and we're just going to hang on and see what happens.
Well, you saw that Stanford and some other schools canceled other sports because of the pandemic entirely. Do you see or have you heard anything locally about any of the schools in Nashville that may potentially cancel some of their other sports in general, like MTSU, Vanderbilt, UT, you name it?
Not yet, Blaine. You know, Tennessee, even down to Memphis, you know, the thought seems to be that they're doing okay right now. You know, they've lost some money because of the pandemic, but they've also, you know, lost, you know, some of the expenses that they thought they were going to have, they didn't have. You know, Vanderbilt, the baseball team didn't, you know, have their SEC schedule. So those kind of expenses were saved. Now, the problem is going to be if, you know, football is the big moneymaker. I mean, you know, Memphis had good crowds. Tennessee was expecting a good attendance this year. Why? Florida and Alabama are coming to town. So while they've got a home schedule that, you know, isn't the prettiest with Charlotte and Furman and all, you know, Alabama usually packs a stadium, and so does Florida. So, you know, that's, I think some of this is still to be seen. You know, we have not heard of coaches, you know, getting you know, pay cuts for any of the schools in this state. It's something I've been monitoring closely. But at this point, no. That said, those things could obviously change depending on, you know, once they see the losses start adding up, then yeah, some cuts will likely be coming.
Mm. Well, speaking of Memphis, I guess lastly for me is what do the Grizzlies think about the bubble and the positive procedures and testing that they have in place down in Orlando?
they like it. You know, Jaren Jackson Jr. is their player rep, and he said that, you know, they have a lot of trust in what the NBA has set up to help keep them safe down there. Justice Winslow is a guy who has yet to make his appearance in a Grizzlies uniform, was one game away right when they shut down. He's going to appear in Portland, and they shut things down. So, you know, he was a little, he had some questions, but he was on the plane when they went to Orlando on Wednesday, and they play their first game July 31st. This is a young team, very young team relatively, so not that far removed from AAU days. So this may play into their strong suit, you know. Not a ton of family members. You know, a couple of them do have some young babies, but, you know, they're ready to go and try to play some basketball, because this is a team that started last summer thinking Summer League title in Vegas. They won that. They were in rebuilding process, and now their goal is to try to get the eighth seed and accelerate their rebuilding process. And, you know, they've got a tough road ahead of them in Orlando to do that.
We're on with AP pro football writer Teresa Walker.
Teresa, we haven't talked a lot. You know, baseball, it's happened. The NBA, it's happened. But do you think we're going to see a significant number of opt-outs in the NFL?
It's a great question. I mean, David Price in Major League Baseball with Ryan Zimmerman. You know, we've seen some people opting out in the NBA. I mean, shoot, is anyone still with the Brooklyn Nets? So, got to think that, yes, there's going to be somebody who opts out in NFL. You know, if you've got a family member who has a health problem, or, you know, you've got a young baby at home. You know, Dennis Kelly, you know, he and his wife had a baby earlier this year. So, you know, we don't know what you know, somebody's, you know, looking at it in their personal life, and they may have to opt out. We're still waiting to hear the exact date that, you know, NFL players have to decide to opt out. So, you know, that's still some of the things that are being worked out between the players and the in the league. So stay tuned. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see how leagues, particularly the NFL, this offseason has been perfect for them. They've had a normal offseason, with the exception that they didn't get on the field to do their offseason program. They're about to run into, you know, the realities of the pandemic and how they can navigate this safely.
What about, too, how interesting is it going to be to watch camp and the teams trying to adhere to the, you know, to the social distancing rules, and, you know, what drills are going to look like, what instruction is going to look like with everybody so spaced out?
Well, Mark, and here's the thing, you know, some of the players are saying, let's just pull off and not do team drills, you know, because let's just do team 11-on-11 once we get in the game. So, yeah, this is going to look very, very different, because football is a hands-on sport, you know. What do people love about Mike Vrabel? He's out there putting on a chest pad, and, you know, he's working with guys and showing technique. You know, he's trying to pound that ball out of Derrick Henry's hands. That's up close and in people's faces. So, you know, it's going to be very curious to see what it looks like. We're still trying to figure out what it looks like for the media watching training camp. So, and the Titans, you know, among all the NFL teams, you know, they're doing the expansion of their practice facility, so their space is almost even more at a premium and tighter than ever. So, yeah, I think they're still working through how that's actually going to look and what we end up seeing of it. So the one thing I know for sure, thanks to the Pro Football Writers Association, is we won't be talking to players in person. There will be no more scrums after practice coming off the field or talking to people in the locker room this year. We're going to be doing those availabilities virtually. So welcome to Zoom interviews, baby.
Mm. How about covering the Predators who are going to be in Edmonton? And it looks like even the broadcast team won't be with them. So covering that, you know, through a playoff series is going to be interesting, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you put those teams into their bubbles. They're not, you know, Pete Weber and those guys look like they're going to be here. You know, we're still waiting, AP, to figure out how we handle those. Guys, I might be riding Predator, quote, home games when they're playing Arizona, and then my colleague in Arizona might be riding when the Coyotes are the, quote, home team. But I was talking to an Olympic historian earlier this week for a story I'm working on, and he pointed out in 1960, you know, the Rome Olympics where Wilma Rudolph starred, you know, Jim McKay narrated those tapes the next day because they had to fly the video to New York from Rome. So at least we'll be able to see the games live. But yeah, we're about to do remote world for, I think, NBA, NHL. The one good thing is it looks like if we have NFL season is that, you know, some of us will be in the press box, but it's going to be socially distanced.
And finally, I got to ask you, you've lived here long enough. You're a huge baseball fan, big Cubs fan. But are you taking this Nashville Major League Baseball initiative a little more seriously now when you hear that this group wants to build its own stadium and not ask the taxpayers to do it?
That is a huge, massive step in the right direction, Mark, because, yes, that was the one component that was truly missing. It's like, it's one thing to say we've got Dave Stewart, Tony La Russa. They added Dave Dombrowski earlier this week, Alberto Gonzalez. I mean, it's this all-star cast of people trying to do this. But the big component is two things, you know, a stadium. And, you know, with Nashville, you know, pandemic, they're looking at a tax increase. You know, the soccer stadium, you know, it seems to have gotten the last money out of Nashville that you're going to get when it comes to a stadium. So they had to come up with a way to do this. And, you know, their drawings they released were great, but you got to have some there. The second part will be a team. And I still think that if they can come up with a stadium component, Tampa is a team that I don't think this splitting between Montreal and Tampa is actually going to work. It's a sky in the pie kind of thing that I don't get. And it doesn't make sense. Nashville could, with a stadium, slip in and maybe get that team to relocate.
Yeah, or maybe they can be the 32nd major league team by expansion.
It's all possible, but the key is you got to have the ownership group, you got to have money, and you got to have a stadium plan.
Absolutely, Teresa. Always a pleasure. Great stuff. Stay safe, and hopefully we'll see you at training camp.
Same here, and you guys take care. Appreciate your time.
All right. Teresa Walker, Hall of Fame writer from the Associated Press, covers the Titans, but really covers everything around the state. Terrific writer, better person. You know, I guess, guys, as a baseball fan, if I had the choice, I'd love to get the Tampa Bay Rays, because they're not only good, but they've got some of the best prospects in the game. Their prospect pool is amazing. Their problem has always been they can only keep them for so long and lose them in free agency. So maybe if the team moved here, it'd have a little more financial wherewithal, and they could bring a really, really good team here. But we'll see what happens. All right, straight ahead, we'll talk about you know, some of the other breaking news around. One of the stories involves Tiger Woods. 9:37 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. On the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Straight ahead, of course, the Midday 180 at the top of the hour. Some breaking news. Tiger Woods will play at the Memorial next week. That's Jack Nicklaus's tournament, of course. And Tiger, of course, getting ready for the three majors that will hopefully happen this fall. But Peyton Manning will not be in his group this week, I believe, or next week, when he plays in Dublin, Ohio. Also, the NHL players will vote on the protocols and the four-year extension of the collective bargaining agreement. So we'll have some clarity today on some of that. And Shafe, I would imagine, do you think we're going to get some clarity on Nashville SC as far as its future in that tournament in Orlando?
Well, since news doesn't break during our show, I'm sure that announcement will come out after 10 o'clock.
Well, you can go ahead and break it, Shafe.
And at least three things that Blaine said in the show will turn out to be right later today. I don't have to text them. Because that always happens.
That alludes to you saying that I'm lucky.
No, it just happens. If it keeps happening, it's not luck.
Oh, man. I get lucky every now and then, man. A squirrel always finds a nut, right?
Yeah, well, I don't mean to throw out another double entendre, but you got a lot of nuts then, kid.
Man, didn't know we were going in that direction.
I know. Sorry.
A lot of curveballs there, Mark.
Taking it off the rails. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting how everybody's trying to piggyback something that really doesn't exist off the Ivy League story. Yeah, it's I've covered the Ivy League. The Ivy League's great. Vegas will love the Ivy League playing in the spring because it'll give people more football to bet on. But ultimately, what the Ivy League is doing has nothing to do with Power Five conference football. It just doesn't. They're just two totally different animals.
Right. Well, and to back you up on that, Mark, we're talking about, let's say, revenue is probably $11 million, $10 million in the Ivy League for football. And then the SEC is probably $120 million. So that's the difference, and that's why it doesn't affect it at all. That's why I asked Teresa about how does it affect, like, a fall spring sport like basketball in the Power Five. Let's say an SEC school. Does that affect them, though, who's around probably the same amount of revenue? Does it affect those guys besides football? If football will be what it is, they may decide later down the road or halfway through the season, start the season, but does it affect the other sports like basketball as well as then leading back around again to baseball?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the sneakier stories of today, just in terms of, you know, revealing what we might see in the future, is Stanford eliminating 11 sports.
Yeah, that's scary.
You know, we haven't even, you know, we don't even know the length and breadth of the financial hit that some of these schools are going to take, at least in attendance. And now some of these schools are being proactive. And we can sit there and talk about the elimination of the fencing team and, you know, the sailing team and all that. But other cuts could likely happen. And sports that we follow, sports that we really like, might start to be affected. You know, it's like Dennis said yesterday, colleges might end up just being a place where kids go to learn, not play sports. So no. That's a definite possibility.
Well, you know, the sad part about it is with eliminating some of these other sports are the kids who are affected because of the pandemic.
And the coaches, no doubt.
And the coaches who lose jobs and lose partial scholarships, in some instances full scholarships. How does that process all work? And I'm sure after this year, even if your sport was eliminated, what happens then? So that's the ultimate, gut punch that really all the kids and families are going through at this time, which is just unfortunate with unforeseen, pandemic, affecting everybody in the world.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Blaine. And it harkens us back to that whole scandal where celebrities, you know, were getting their kids into school, on scholarships for non-revenue sports. And people went, oh yeah, you know, they were on the rowing team or whatever. Well, that's how some kids get an education. Mm-hmm. That's how some kids end up making a difference in the world. And you're absolutely right. If they don't have that avenue, then unfortunately, the world changes a little bit. Absolutely. Some of the other, one of the other stories too, with the NHL. We're going to find out too if players are going to opt out there. There was a good article by Scott Burnside, that said, hockey players, plan their year around having July and August to have children, take vacations, do all sorts of things. And now that's being taken away from them. And I realize, those are rich people problems, to some degree. But, we're going to find out too how the NHL is going to be affected by all this.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting because it's probably the closest thing you can get to football in that they have on uniforms and they're covered, but they still have contact. So not as much as naturally football because you got 11 guys possibly having contact every single play. So if they can survive, I think that'll be a little bit of a case study in a small way. With the NFL and how those guys go about their business and how they're getting tested, their protocols, and how they're surviving through the league. And what are the players following up and they're going back, they won't be going back to their families. They're in a bubble. So will then the NFL make a bubble for the players. And I say bubble, I mean make them all stay in one hotel during the season, at least early on. No one has mentioned that, and I know one says no, but you, Mark, you never say never, because revenue will be lost. No different than in college. Do you say, okay, if we want to make this season survive in college football, do we let all the other students stay away, stay safe, do online? We put the players in a bubble in a dorm and say, guess what? We can have this season. No fans, but guess what? We can still have this season, and we get that TV revenue and those contracts all in our pocket, and then football moves on.
Other story that just came down on Pro Football Talk. J.J. Watt saying he has no interest in playing with a face shield. That was brought up as a possibility to maybe minimize, you know, the exchange of germs, you know, for lack of a better term. And a lot of people don't understand. You talked about this yesterday. You did not like playing with a face shield. Explain again why.
Well, for me personally, it was tough for me to breathe. So I don't know how some of these guys, and maybe I just, maybe my breathing system was, nostril was clogged up or something. I just had difficulty. It looked sweet, and I had the Vader, and I didn't want the quarterbacks to see my eyes and all of that. Man, after the first drive, I had that thing yanked off. And so some guys are comfortable with it, and some guys aren't. And so that's going to be a big, big deal. Because if you can't breathe properly, you're not going to wear any mask. I don't care who you are. And J.J. Watt probably understands that more than anybody and been in the trenches. That's going to be – if it gets to that, some guys are just not going to do it. Yeah.
You know, running backs, I guess, like it. You know, we've seen running backs use it. But certain position groups, you're right, guys just don't feel comfortable with it.
I think it's a personal issue. I don't know if it's really by position. I know guys like to wear them at all positions. If you can, you really don't want to give any cheats with your eyes. But some guys are just uncomfortable with it for whatever reason. Like OBJ, you know, wore one year, and 1 year he didn't. The running backs all want to look sweet, all these multicolored visors. And they say you got to have one visor. Then they say you have to have prescriptions to wear those visors. So there's a lot of different things, but nah, I wanted to wear one in the worst way, just so the quarterbacks couldn't see the safety's eyes, and I could not do it. I could do it in practice all day long, get in the game, and then all the intensity level goes up, and the breathing, and it would fog up. It's just like, you know, driving in fog. Can you see? And no windshield wipers on my visor. So yeah, I couldn't see. I couldn't do it.
All right. Some of the other stories we're going to be following, for our show tomorrow, Ohio State and North Carolina, the latest programs to shut down their workouts due to high COVID numbers. So, we'll continue to follow that and how it pertains to the upcoming college football season. All right, that's it for us. The Midday 180 is next. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Happy Thursday.
Wu-Tang, y'all.